This question, who do the people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This question goes right to the heart of who we are as Catholic Christians, because how we answer them, if we truly mean what we say, it will affect not just what we do on Sunday morning or Saturday evening. It will affect every moment of our lives. All week long, all month long, all year long. All of our actions and our choices, not only with our family and friends, but with complete strangers, with our parish community as well. But before we get our answer, let's look at who the Jews were expecting at the time of Christ. They forgot to look at Zechariah, at Isaiah, so many of the ancient prophets that wrote of the Messiah. They were simply expecting a king. In Greek, Messiah is translated into the Christ. They were expecting another David, a warrior, who was going to come and drive out the Romans from the Israel's homeland. There are other messiahs since David, but none of them lived up to their name. But when Jerusalem was once again under the power of a foreign country, they were expecting this Messiah to come to free them. Zechariah writes, "They shall look on him whom they have pierced. There will be mourning in Jerusalem, and on that day there will be open to Jerusalem a fountain to purify from sin and uncleanliness." The Messiah was there not to drive a foreign nation out of Jerusalem, but to drive Satan out of their hearts. Knowing these expectations, after a night in prayer, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do others say that I am?" He gets a whole variety of responses. So he asked them personally, "Say that I am." Peter responds, "The Christ of God, the Messiah." And then Jesus tells him, "Don't tell anybody this." He knew that they were expecting a Messiah, but he wanted to make sure that they were expecting the correct understanding of a Messiah. And he knew that it would be difficult to grasp. So he wants to teach his disciples what it was going to mean, so that when these things occurred, then they would understand. And then they could teach others. "The Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Something none of them would have been expecting. Something that they couldn't understand. And then in his closing statement, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." To hear this from Jesus, the disciples had to wonder if he was losing his mind. We see these things in 20/20 hindsight. We see these things that can sound all noble and holy, but for those that were living at the time, for those that were familiar with the reality of the cross, it had to sound crazy. The cross is probably the most brutal punishment that human beings have ever come up with. It was so bad, it wasn't just meant to affect the one who was being crucified. It was meant to affect all of their family and their friends, anyone that might be associated with them, that they would be separated from the one that was being crucified. And here Jesus is telling them, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Until they experienced the resurrection, they wouldn't have had any clue what he was talking about. They certainly couldn't have taught others. So he tells them to keep quiet, to keep that to themselves. And he asks us the same question, "Who do you say that I am?" But he no longer wants us to be quiet about it. He wants us to live it so that we can be witnesses of our answer to the whole world. The Son of Man must suffer. Why must he suffer? It's because God is love, and to walk the path of love is to walk the path of suffering. It's not about a spiritual masochism. It's not about seeking suffering, whether spiritual or physical, for the sake of suffering. It's not about looking for ways to suffer. It's to live as God calls us to live. It's to go against the grain of the world, because that is what it is to truly love. To desire the good of another, simply as other, is to suffer, because it infringes on our own ego. It infringes on our own freedoms. We have to die a little bit to ourselves. The world says, use this other person. Use them for my pleasure, for my advancement, for my benefit, for whatever it might be. But to love is to offer myself for that other, to see the person next to me as a person, not as an object, to see them as a son or daughter of God, not as a stepping stone for what I want. These things affect us in so many ways because sin affects us in all ways. It affects our parish life. It affects our family life. It affects our relationships. It affects our businesses. The world loves conflict and lies. To love goes against this. To love is to speak the truth to a world and to know that we will be hated for it, just as Jesus was and just as Jesus is hated for it still today. To bear our cross is more than picking up from a bad marriage. It's more than suffering from bad grades or a difficult boss. It's more than having an abusive relationship. This is part of it, but it goes deeper. I think a lot of times we think of God up there, you know, maybe it's almost like a game of Texas Hold'em, right? And God's just up there dealing cards. Okay, you got a bad marriage. Sorry. Oh, you just lost your spouse. Just lost your husband. Just lost a child. Just lost a parent. And then once in a while, he'll throw out some good things in our lives. Oh, you're going to have a child. You're going to get a new job. You're, you know, whatever it might be. And sometimes he'll throw out cards that affect everybody. You know, there's a tornado. It's going to hit everybody. There's a flood that's going to affect everybody. There's beautiful weather that's going to affect everybody. But God's not up there playing Texas Hold'em. He's not up there giving us good things and bad things in our life. He allows these things, and he allows all of them, whether it's good or bad, to come into our lives. For one reason, for our salvation. Because to bear the cross is a choice. It's a choice to surrender myself wholly and completely to God. It is to live a self-sacrificial love, a choice to speak the truth when the conversation leads to gossip or backstabbing. It is to fill these things with love. It is to speak the truth of human sexuality to a culture that doesn't want to hear. It's a choice to teach that being male or female isn't a matter of individual choice. It's a gift that we receive from our Heavenly Father. It is a choice to defend all human life, all the time. It is a choice to defend the sacrament of marriage as a union between one man and one woman. So when we come and we look at a crucifix, what do we see? Do we simply see Christ up there all by himself? Or do we see ourselves uniting to that cross of Christ? All of us, few of us, will be called to a martyrdom. But all of us are called to the invitation of the cross.